Turning with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, Isaiah 41 and 10, and then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. I'm going to pick up where I left off on Wednesday night last week and just continue on with some of the topics of what the Lord has allowed me to share with you. The word of the Lord says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, the word of the Lord says, "He hath showed thee, O man." You know that the scripture, when I call, you know, so we go around calling each other, "Hey man," right? But the scripture says, "O man, what is good? What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." And I want to talk to you again on this thought. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy. Thank you for the spirit of worship, God. Thank you for, Lord, for the allowing us the privilege to be able to hear from you today, God, not just in song, but God, in word and the preaching and the teaching of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Our scripture setting, our scripture text here this evening, finds the people of God in captivity, specifically in the book of Isaiah. It finds the people of God in distress. They are against all odds from a human perspective, things don't look well. Last week, throughout my message or Bible study, I read from Luke chapter 21, and I tried to kind of take it out, and I felt the prodding of the Holy Ghost to keep it and to read it again. And it is such a timely word for the season of life that we're in. But Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, the word of the Lord says, "And there shall be signs in the earth," or signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, "and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Notice this, "men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Now, you could have one of those aha moments and say, "Wow, the word of the Lord is so relevant." But it has always been there. It's always been in the scriptures. So that ought to be an encouragement to you. That ought to be an encouragement to the people of God, that the Lord really knows what He's doing. He really knows what's taking place. Nothing catches our God by surprise. And this ought to be an encouragement. This ought to be a confirmation for somebody here this evening to just keep walking. Just don't stop and daze and get distracted or fearful or crawl up into a ball and just say, "I'm just going to stay here in my Ziploc bag until this is all over." But look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. We are never at a disadvantage when the Lord is on our side. Forgiveness and redemption and deliverance and healing and blessings and satisfaction and joy and peace comes from the Lord. God is sovereign. He does what He wants, when He wants. He uses what He chooses to use when He feels like using it. Isaiah 44 and 24 tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself," He says. God's going to restore His people. God is going to take care of His people. The scripture is very clear that He says, "I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'll redeem you. I'll hold you up and by the hand of my right hand of righteousness. We need to take heed to the word of God. And there's five or six things that I have mentioned that I feel that the church as Revival Tabernacle, that I pastor, and then as the church as a whole, as the apostolic Pentecostal faith, that I believe there are some things that the church needs, that we need to be reminded of, that the church needs to keep walking in regardless of what's taking place. I talked about two of those last week, but tonight I want to talk about that we need to stand firm on the doctrine. We need to stand firm on the fundamental doctrine of the scriptures. We got to keep walking in it, despite maybe new paths, new revelations that people have, disillusion or fleshly ambitions may get in the way. But can I tell you, it's not to whoever runs the fastest, has the biggest church, speaks the loudest, or talks in tongues the most, or has the best building, or the biggest bank account. But it's he who endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. So we got to keep walking. We got to keep walking. Earlier this week, we went for a family walk on Monday, our family night. We went for a walk, and I've been having some problems with my leg since January 10th or 11th to be exact, and it was getting better, and I was getting some therapy for it. But then, of course, this situation took place, and everything kind of stopped and canceled, got postponed, and so. I just kept walking, just kept moving. But I was telling Sister Panero when we were walking, I said, just walking and moving and going around in circles around the neighborhood is making this thing feel better. And maybe the Lord is trying to teach me, you're preaching about just walking, so I'm gonna show you something about, you know, just keep walking. But it's the same thing with your walk with God, when you know that, you know what, I'm walking with the Lord and it's going to be okay. It's the same thing with your spiritual relationship with God. That if you are legitimately walking with Him, it's going to be all right. You know, there's a lot of folks that are talking for the Lord, but they don't ever talk to the Lord. Think about that. Had a conversation with somebody some time back, and they said, "Well, Pastor, he speaks for me all the time, but that's not right. What he's saying, he can't represent me. I'm my own person." And they were talking about a situation, but this is how I feel about a situation. It's the same thing with the Lord. We can go around and say things that we believe and that we're walking with Him. But when the rubber meets the road, we got to keep walking with Him, even though it feels like we're walking alone. We just keep walking with the Lord. Notice what the proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Consider where you walk. I mentioned it last week, but this is a walk of faith. Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." And Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God." You and I have got to keep moving forward regardless of what's going on or what is not going on. We keep walking with the Lord. We just keep walking with Him. The first point I want to make tonight, if you're taking notes, and I got 2 points tonight, is the first point is we need to be committed to the doctrine. We either believe it, and we abide by it, or we don't. Come on, somebody. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Doctrine is the commandments of the Bible. Doctrine is teachings. Doctrine is the biblical principles and biblical absolutes. There are still some absolutes in the Word of God. The doctrine will stand on its own. You don't got to try to package up the doctrine in order for it to be palatable or accepted. The doctrine will stand on its own. This Word of God has been through a whole lot worse things than what we're experiencing right now. No, and I don't say that disrespectfully. This is a very challenging, and it's been a trying time for a lot of people. But can I tell you, the Word of God does not fail. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. But with that, it's got to come wisdom, and it's got to come instruction, and it's got to come understanding. Saints of God, the Word of God is true. If you want to fact check anything, you ought to go to the Word of God and say, well, I hear what they're saying. I see this study. I hear what this philosopher says, I hear what this professional says, but I'm going to go back to the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. The Word of God said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? The Word of God said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. The Word of God says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get back to the book, and I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. The Word of God is true. It's tried and it's proven. And it'll always be true. 2 Timothy 4:3 tells us, for the time will come. And I believe personally we are in this time. Personally. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice, you're going to have to endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, it's going to come a time where they're not going to endure. They're not going to want to hear what the preacher says. They're going to want to put us on mute. They're going to want to pull the plug and get us offline or whatever it is. But people are going to close their ears and say, I don't want to hear the truth. Whether you close your ears to the truth or not, it doesn't change the fact that it's the truth. But you just keep walking. They won't endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Just keep walking in the doctrine, regardless of who believes it, who follows it, who shares it, and who walks away. You and I just keep walking in it. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. The Bible gives true history of the creation of heaven and earth and humanity. There is no salvation outside of what is taught in this Holy Bible. There is only one God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He has revealed himself to humanity as the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost is a spirit indwelling in us. That is not some triune doctrine. That is not some Trinity, some new philosophy. It is the Word of God. There's only one God, and His name is Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Come on, somebody. For in Him, the scripture tells us, Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwelleth all, in who? In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead of the body, bodily. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Come on, he's the bread of life. He's the water when we're thirsty. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. He's the lamb for sinners slain. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the bread of life. He is the savior of the world. He's my friend. He's my father. He's the comforter. He's the way maker. That's who he is. And I'm going to keep walking in that. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. This is not an assumption. This is scripture says in 1 Timothy 3:16, for without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up in the glory. Somebody say hallelujah. We need to stand on the doctrine. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. That's why Pastor Panero is, I'm comfortable with making reasonable adjustments that we have made, because the method is the method. Jesus taught from a boat. Jesus taught from a hillside. Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus and he talked to those two discouraged men. Jesus sat in a home and he ministered. Jesus fed the multitude, but he did it in different places. But the message was always the same. Could I tell you, whether we're online, offline, half together, all together, Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it is, the message is still going to be the Acts 2:38 message. The method may change. The church may have been multiplied. There may be half meeting in one place and half in another. It doesn't matter, saints of God, because you're the church and you can't stop the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I'm not going to get caught up in the philosophy of and traditions of men and say, we got to do it this way. Obviously, God is saying, hey, wherever you're at, I'll meet you. I'll meet you on a hillside. I'll meet you in your living room. I'll meet you in the park. I'll meet you in the... I'm the God, and I do what I want when I want. But the message is still the message. So we keep walking. Whatever door he opens, whatever door he closes, we just keep walking. We need to continue to walk down this wonderful path that the Lord has prepared for us. The apostles' doctrine has been through more than what we realize and understand. And it's going to carry us through more than what we realize and will ever understand. It's because of the shedding blood, it's because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. It's because of the work of the cross that we have forgiveness of sins and salvation. It's the blood of Jesus that covers us all. He died once and for all. You understand that? 1 John 2:2 tells us, and he is the propitiation, or the substitute for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Romans 3:25 tells us, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. The only, here Pastor Panero, the only way our sins can be remitted, washed away, and taken away, is through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I present to you today, brothers and sisters, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is not a way. That is the only way. Way. Pastor, what if they don't believe? Just keep walking. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Just keep walking. Fear not. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take care of you. While I'm on that, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is not a one-time deal. We are to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And notice this, once you're filled with the Spirit, we need to stay filled with the Spirit. And then we allow the fruit of the Spirit to begin to be manifest and be developed in us. Notice what Galatians 5:16 says. Then I say, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know that it may not appear to be this way, but when you're working out, it's easier to keep working out than to work out and stop and wait a few months and then get back in it and work out again. It's the same thing with living for God. It's easier to stay in the church than to get out of the church and try to get back in the church. The scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. Can I make an appeal to you? Even if you're walking real slow, you're dragging your feet. Drag your feet forward and allow the Spirit to become alive and active in you again. But for heaven's sake, keep walking and keep moving forward. Don't stop walking with Jesus. There's not a new revelation. There's not a new doctrine. There's not another plan of salvation. In fact, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What the church needs, what the community needs, what the world needs, what our families need, is to see you and I walking and being faithful to the apostles' doctrine. Not wishy-washy. Not saying you're going to have ups and downs and have moments where your faith is real low and your faith is real high. That's just going to happen. But not living for God. They need to just see you faithful. You don't need to be the rabbit and run real fast. Just slow and steady. Slow and steady. Faithful. Notice this. Holiness doesn't get put on hold because things have changed in society or the method of the church has had to make some temporary adjustments for the sake of health and safety. Holiness is not a set of rules, but rather it's the marvelous grace of God that He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it's His love in us that is compelling Him, compelling us towards Him. And we want to be like Him, and He is holy, so we want to live and act and behave and dress and think in a holy way. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. When a person becomes a Christian, when a person becomes a believer, buried in baptism in Jesus' name, the conversion changes, and it ought to change every facet of our life. Not just internally, but it ought to be a representation outwardly as well. The moral decay and the societal changes and the compromise of society and the agitation of society that ought not to loosen our obedience and faithfulness to holiness, but rather that ought to solidify our absolute commitment to the Lord to be holy and to live more holy now, today, than ever before. He's coming back for a holy people. Not a people that are going to compromise or stop walking and sit on the side of the road and spectate. But He's coming back for a people that are going to just keep walking with the Lord, committed to Him, whether it feels good, whether it's popular or not, that we just keep walking and we serve a holy God. So let's be holy. Holiness is beautiful and it's right. Scripture tells us in Psalm 96 and 9, says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's holiness regardless of what others may or may not be doing or what you may think they're doing that they're really not doing. Holiness is holiness whether people are around. God's around. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 says, be holy because I'm holy. So holiness is not something you wear or you do, but it's who you are. It's part of your spiritual DNA. It's a process. The more you understand it, the more you get a revelation, the more you allow it to penetrate into your spirit, the more holiness grows. Notice this, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You're not going to get it right the first time, the first year. There's folks that have been around 10 years and they still struggle with things inwardly and outwardly. But guess what? They are working towards perfection in holiness, in the fear or the reverence of the Lord. You just keep walking. Just keep walking. Somebody say, keep walking. Holiness is not something we do on Sundays. It's a resemblance of who we are throughout the week. We are to bear the fruit of holiness. Notice the scripture tells us in Romans 6 and 22. It tells us, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Some of you know better. Some of you know better. But you've allowed the excuse of quarantine and social distancing, and maybe your ministry involvement has been limited or has been postponed because of circumstance. And you feel that it's given you a license to compromise your standard of holiness. Shame on you. It's not the will of God. It's not pleasing to God. It's a deception. It's the trick of the enemy. So what are you saying, Pastor? Get back up, like Brother Bonham said on Sunday, and keep walking, keep moving forward. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you. Read the scripture. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, don't get dismayed. I'm going to help you. I'll take care. Just get back in. Keep walking. Keep moving forward. Somebody say amen. Amen. Scripture tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Notice this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The enemy of our soul will do whatever he can to entice us, because he is an opportunistic person, to get us to stop the forward movement of our walk with God. Just get you to stop the forward movement. See, folks are busy, but doesn't mean they're productive. The hamster is very busy on that wheel, but the hamster's not productive. One of the tricks of the enemy is not just fear, but the busyness, the cares of life. We got to just keep walking with Jesus. What the church needs for us, what the community needs, what our families need, is to see a church that is committed to the doctrine. What it needs to see is Hebrews 12 and 14 and 15 in action. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Second point tonight is we need to be more compassionate. Listen to Pastor Pinero. Compassion is not weakness or giving in or compromise. Compassion is a desire to alleviate the suffering of someone else. Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by some misfortune. One thing that I see a desperate need for in the church, not just Revival Tabernacle, but in the church as a whole, as believers, is that we need to be more compassionate. I'm not talking about tolerance and rolling over and just accepting whatever it is. No, I'm talking about compassion. Having some compassion. Biblical compassion. How about I put it that way? But listen, don't be so hard on one another. My goodness. Everyone is dealing with this pandemic. Do you realize that? And they're dealing with it differently because they're wired differently. Emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. They're not you. Thank the Lord they're not you. But get over it. They process things differently. Seriously. As if this pandemic is not enough with what's going on. Have some compassion. Quit with the criticism and the self-promotion of your opinion. We get it. You have an opinion. So do I. But I pray that you would get all worked up about salvation. I pray that you would go all crazy and lose your mind about people repenting of their sins and being saved. As some people get all worked up and crazy about things that are important, but they're not salvation issues. Come on, somebody. Walk with some compassion. I'm referencing this in generality. It's applicable in the church, out of the church, on the job, at home, in schools, in place of business. Listen, the small business owner, they're doing what they can. Ease up on the poor lady that didn't bring the chips and salsa right away like they used to. Just take a chill pill. Bring your own chips. Listen, the church is doing what they can. Every church is doing what they can. Back up. Families are doing what they can. The healthcare professionals, God bless them. But they're doing what they can. And the school system, they're going to do what they can. Whether we agree with whatever they do or not, it doesn't matter. Just keep walking. I'm going to heaven. Whether the Lord takes me today or tomorrow, this world's not my home. Guess what? I'm just a nomad in this world. I'm headed in one direction on the road with Jesus, and I'm committed to unity. I'm committed to prayer. I'm committed to fasting tomorrow, by the way. I'm committed to having compassion, and I'm committed to the apostles' doctrine more today than ever before, and I'm gonna keep on walking. Moms and dads are doing what they can. Have some compassion. Quit keeping score. Ease up on the gas pedal. This is not a competition. We're not competing with anybody, not even the devil, because he's under our feet. Always has been. Always will be. But just keep walking in love and prayer and fasting. By the way, fasting tomorrow. Have some compassion. Don't stop and pick up stones and throw them. Pick up those stones and build an altar. Pick up those stones and build a wall of protection around your fellow brother and sister. How about that? How about Hebrews 10 and 24? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Others may not have the support system that you and I have. Think about that. They may not have the financial and the spiritual resources or investment that this church has. We are so blessed. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by how blessed Revival Tabernacle is when I hear about other things, or I'm made aware about other things as a presbyter. I just, Brother Carlos, I'll weep because I'm saying, God, you've been so good to Revival Tabernacle through it all, Lord. And who am I to gripe that a PA system got here 4 days later than it was supposed to? God, thank the Lord for technology that if this would have taken place 20 years ago, we would have been in a bad situation. But oh God, we're reaching more people today than we ever have. We've already baptized more people this year than we did last year. Can you, this is a God thing that has taken place. You're blessed. Thank God you were furloughed and not laid off. Thank God you took a pay cut and didn't get kicked to the curb. Think about it. Others are trying to deal with this and they've got 101 other things going on. But they're still active and involved in ministry and doing what they can faithfully for our kids every week. God bless those ministries. Have some compassion. 1 Peter 3:8 says, having compassion one of another. Listen, your neighbors may not be Christians. In fact, they may be related to the devil himself. But you're sometimes the only glimmer of hope that they have. Think about that. Psalms 86:15 tells us, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. And it gets better. And gracious. And it gets better. Long suffering. And if that wasn't enough, it says, and plenteous in mercy and truth. The Lord has compassion on us. And He really knows us. Ooh, scary. And He's going to continue to have compassion on us. Notice this. Micah 7:18, as we musicians prepare to help Pastor land this. Who is like a God unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. It makes him happy. Notice this. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. But Pastor, if you only knew the people I'm connected to at work or my neighbors, who I live with, you only knew, my goodness, you try living with them. I don't want to try. The Lord has blessed you with that privilege. And to be honest, I don't want to know or don't need to know. But God does. He says He's going to help you. Don't be dismayed. Oh man, what is good and what doeth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So we stand all across sanctuary in our homes. Pray for them. Instead of talking about them. Pray with them instead of being critical. Come on, somebody. Jesus was compassionate. He was compassionate. He was moved with compassion. He fed the multitude in Mark chapter 8. He touched the leper. Yeah. Mark chapter 1. We're not even touching one another right now. He touched a leper. You don't think that will give you cooties? He moved. He was moved with compassion when he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. Mark 6:34. And he was moved with compassion and he healed the blind. Matthew chapter 20. It was compassion that Jesus demonstrated. Psalms 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. He doesn't have a temper problem. So look for ways this week to demonstrate compassion within the church. Err on the side of compassion, as I say, as I've been taught the last couple of years, in a different realm of leadership, to err on the side of mercy. Let's err on the side of compassion. If you give it, you'll receive it. That's the law of sowing and reaping. It's in the Bible. You reap what you sow. Tonight I pray that we stay committed and walk with the doctrine. We stay walking in prayer and fasting. we stay walking with unity, and we walk with compassion. Notice this, Proverbs 4 and 18, and I close with this. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.